A sea urchin dubbed the cockroach of the ocean has almost completely destroyed the kelp forests off of the coast of Northern California. Kendra Pierre Lewis is a climate reporter for the New York Times, and she's reported extensively on this story. Kendra, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks so much for having me, Tanzina.
So what exactly are these poor little urchins doing off the coast of Northern California?
Basically, it got really hot, and their key predator, which is a kind of starfish, died off. And the hot weather sort of made it harder for the kelp to produce. And that twin effect of sort of the loss of their key food supply, or the reduction of their key food supply and the loss of their key predator, triggers something in the purple urchins. I call it going hangry, you know? They just sort of come out of their little crevices and they line up in what they call these fronts, and they just start mowing down any remaining kelp or algae or anything else that's out there.
And what's prompting them to get hangry? Because, I mean, I get hangry. Don't we all kind of get hangry? But, like, what's prompting the sea urchins?
Basically, it's climate change, unfortunately. It's climate change.
And what is a kelp forest? I mean, we hear about kelp, but is this really a critical part of the ecosystem on this coast?
Yeah, it's huge. And it's not just on the California coast. There are kelp forests pretty much everywhere in the world except for Antarctica. You find them even in Greenland. And so they're just like forests, except they're underwater. They're food for a ton of animals. For other animals like rockfish, they nurse and they hide out in the kelp forest from their other key predators. So they're a huge part of the food web, or the interconnection of how food operates in the ocean. And then from a climate perspective, they're plants, so they absorb carbon emissions. And so not only are we losing this key ecosystem in the sense of, like, where we get fish and food and all of these really important things from, we're also losing one of the key ways that we can help fight off climate change.
Is there anything, any way to feed the sea urchins so they don't attack the kelp?
So what they're doing in Northern California, basically, is they're going into the ocean and they're pulling out the purple urchins. There are a couple of plans to try and see if they can fatten them on land. For a variety of reasons, the way that purple urchins work in Northern California, they're not really commercially viable.
But they're meaning we don't like to eat them?
It's not that we don't like to eat them. It's that the purple urchins in particular get to the size where, like, they're gonads, which is what we eat. It gets to full size sort of this time of year, in the fall and in the winter. And it's not safe to go out and fish it, and that's under normal conditions. But because they're starving, basically, they're really hungry, if you were to crack one open right now, there's no food inside.
No wonder why they're hangry.
Pretty much, yeah. It's kind of like they get really hungry. They realize that their food is running out and that there's nothing to eat them, and they sort of go into this panic. And that creates this frenzy that in turn actually makes them go hungry. And they also, the way they eat the kelp is the worst. They eat the bottom of the kelp, and so 90% of the plant just floats away. So they don't even get all of the food.
Oh, these little urchins. I think we need to talk to them. Kendra, how is this going to affect, I mean, all jokes aside, how would this affect Californians and the environment there? Yeah.
Yeah. The environment, well, it's already affecting Californians. So as I talk about in the article, they used to have about 100 red urchin, which is a different color, much larger urchin, commercial divers. They're now down to about 8 or 10. For the first time ever, Northern California had to close its recreational abalone fishery, which contributed something like $44 million a year to the local economy. And there's a really good chance they're going to have to do it for another 2 years, because abalone also eat kelp. And without kelp, they're also starving. And so they're expecting to see ripple effects in the next few years in the rockfish fishery as well. And so it's just going to continue going down the line.
Kendra Pierre Lewis is a climate reporter for the New York Times. Kendra, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.